Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, March 24th, 2015. And with me today again, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Hello.
That was just like the most awesome hello ever.
Thank you.
I now see you as Mrs. Doubtfire.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
I gotta go.
And the man who is now very uncomfortable, Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I'm good. You know, for some reason, I expected that you were going to mispronounce Brian's name as Brian Chaffin, because many people do, but there's no reason to expect that you would. I have no idea why I was surprised when you said his name correctly.
Yeah, most people actually mispronounce it.
I know, but Jeff, I mean, that's ridiculous for me to even assume that he would mispronounce it.
That is a weird. It's a weird place for you to go.
Yeah.
And then it's a weird place for you to confess it right on the air.
Right here. How you doing? I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you, Dave Hamilton.
Did you put an umlaut over that?
I totally did.
Is the umlaut over the A or over the M? That's what I want to know.
It's over the M.
That's the Spinal Tap style.
Spinal Tap,
that's right. Because this podcast goes to 11.
Yeah.
That's right. Hey, we have a sponsor today. And I'm pretty excited about that. Our sponsor is Pathfinder 7 from Cocotec. And if you're not familiar with Pathfinder 7, well, you ought to be, because what it does is it takes the Finder and unshackles it. It turns it into something that is far more useful and far more powerful than what Apple has given us in OS X. And the first time I really got to play with it and see what it did, I started kicking myself for not using Pathfinder sooner, because it does so much for me. Dave, I got you hyped up about it yesterday.
You did. Yeah. I downloaded my trial copy and have started messing around with it.
Okay, well, now I'm going to give you another thing you can do with it that you'll be wishing you had been doing before. When you open a Pathfinder window, look at the bottom, and there's panels that are there. And those panels, you can set what each one of them does. So if you need to have info on all your files that you're looking at any given time, you can do that. And then you can set another panel that's just like a terminal window. So you can run terminal commands to your heart's content without ever having to launch terminal. It's all just right there. And one thing that comes in handy for me more often than I thought it would is being able to quickly change permissions on files or fix permissions on files. You can set one of those panels to do just that.
Huh. So,
yeah, I know. Now, aren't you feeling really bad about not using this sooner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely.
It's amazingly cool. The feature I talked about yesterday that I liked is the ability to gang up files from different locations to copy as a group or individually to a new location. So you don't have to have multiple windows open and digging through all these different locations just to try and find what you're looking for. It's absolutely wonderful. And then being able to customize those panels at the bottom of a Pathfinder window for exactly the functions that you need to do on a regular basis, it's like technical bliss. So anyhow, go check this out and download the free trial so that you can see if it's the right power tool for you before you drop your money on it. And you can do that by going to the Cocotec website. That's Cocotech.com. /Pathfinder. Download Pathfinder 7, give it a shot, and my guess is that you'll be as pleasantly surprised as I have been, and you'll end up just wanting to use this all the time. So thank you, Cocotec and Pathfinder 7, for being our sponsor this week.
Good stuff.
Indeed. All right. So yesterday we talked some about the new Steve Jobs biography that's coming out today. So actually came out today. It's available right now. And it's called Becoming Steve Jobs. And it turns out there's more that we needed to talk about. And I'd like to start first with just how very differently Apple has dealt with this book compared to the Walter Isaacson biography of Steve Jobs, which is the only book that Steve Jobs endorsed himself.
Yeah, I mean, we went through some of this yesterday, and it was actually really hard for us not to or hard for us to do this again today here, but it was clear that we had a lot more to say. The narrative that Apple has spun about this book is unprecedented for something that they were not that they did not create, right? I mean, they certainly have come out and said, "Oh, all other smartphones suck because, you know, we have the iPhone," right? And they've done that with all kinds of things, but they've never come out and said, you know, with the executive team tweeting and all of this stuff saying, "Hey, this first-person shooter is the best first-person shooter. All the other ones are terrible," right? That's never happened before. And yet that's almost what's happening here. You know, like we had the ability to talk to the developer and tell them how they should make this first-person shooter, and now they made exactly what we wanted, and it's awesome. I mean, listen, any developer in the world is going to answer the phone if Tim Cook calls and offers to give him some advice on what he might want to see in his app. That's kind of what happened with this book here. And it's the story clearly that certainly the folks at Apple, but I would say that a lot of people, including the authors, wanted to tell because they were close to Steve and felt like that side of him was not represented properly. And that's okay, right? I mean, sure. That's fine. I'm eagerly reading this book. I got my copy yesterday afternoon in the mail and basically started reading it right away. And there's some, I mean, it starts with an interesting anecdote. It's fairly well written so far. But I mean, there's no reason that you can't like this book for what it has. And also like the Isaacson book for what it has, and even, you know, a lot of the ones that came before it. The Journey is the Reward was the first book I ever read on Steve Jobs. I mentioned it yesterday. It wasn't all that well written, but man, at the time, I loved it because it was, you know, this little bit of information that I could get. So, you know, it's all good. It's okay. We don't have to buy into Apple's narrative that this is the only one that anyone should ever read.
Right. And it's a little bit bizarre. It's certainly unprecedented, as you said, and quite frankly, I think it's just wrong. Yeah. It's just a wrong. It's a wrong thing. It'd be one thing if they were saying that this book is, if they were focusing on the idea that this book is the one that offers the portrait of the person that they knew and loved and worked for, right? Which is one of the things that they've said. But they don't just focus on that. They say that everyone else got it wrong. And they say that the Johnny Ive, who's like probably probably the most gentle billionaire in technology, right? I mean, his comment was, "My regard couldn't be lower," which is just such a gentlemanly way of dissing the book. And Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Tim Cook saying that that book did a disservice to Steve, you know, and these people they only have themselves to blame.
Yeah, Steve told them to talk to Isaacson, and some of them did talk to Isaacson, right?
Yeah, why weren't they telling Walter Isaacson all these stories? I do not believe for a second that all of these stories were told to Walter Isaacson, and he eschewed them and decided not to include them in the book.
No,
I don't believe that for a second.
I agree with you. I believe that Walter Isaacson told the story that he heard.
Yes.
And I believe that that Brent and Rick, Brent Schlender and I can't think of Rick's last name, Rick Tetzeli. I should have forgotten it because I can't pronounce it. I believe that they told the story they wanted to tell. And there's nothing wrong with either of those things as long as you as the reader come in knowing that one of them is I told you the story that I heard, and the other one is I told you the story that I wanted to tell, in part because I didn't like the story that guy heard.
Right, and that raises a good point, because it's really easy to be the second major book or the third major book or the fourth major book. And I say it's easy. That's writing books is hard. I know this firsthand. It's easier to understand what you want to say when you don't like something else that's already been said.
This is like Apple's. Let's take a look at the genesis. What you just said there, Brian, describes exactly what has made Apple and every individual product they've ever released successful. They didn't invent anything. They've never invented anything new, any new product category, right?
The Apple One.
No, because the Altair existed before that, right?
That's true. The Apple One did something.
It was a reaction to the Altair is this thing. Sure, people are excited to have it in their home, but look how you have, right? How you have to interact with this thing. That sucks. We can do it better, right? The iPod, that sucks. We can do it better. The phone, that sucks. The iPad, that sucks. The watch, that sucks. Right, we have yet to see how the watch will be received, but this is Apple's MO, and this book exactly follows it, with the lone exception that, as far as we know, and I say that with a huge asterisk, I am not implying anything here, but that these people did this completely on their own and were not on Apple's payroll and were not commissioned by Apple to do it. In fact, it even says as much, and Apple has said as much, that They were approached by Rick and Brent early on and said no, and then changed their minds and said, yeah, we will grant you interviews for the book that you are writing. So I mean, I think it is a separate thing. But taking that out of it, this is exactly the type of quote unquote product that Apple would make. We didn't like how it was done, we can do it better.
It's true. And applying that to some third party product, as you said at start, is utterly unprecedented from Apple, and it's super interesting. But, you know, my question though is how coordinated were the quotes? Like, I mean, were they all just honest? I'm talking about the quotes regarding Isaacson's book, and then the quotes regarding this new book. Was it all just sort of a genuine, outpouring of commentary, or was this something that was actually planned by Apple's PR team?
I think every comment taken individually is heartfelt. However, let's look at the timing for a moment, right? Let's rewind back a few weeks. John Gruber was, I believe, the first one to publicly state anything about the book. In fact, his article, his little brief about it, was, I'm proud to be able to announce this, right? So he announced the book. Now, it's no secret that Gruber is an influential tech blogger, so it would be smart for someone like the authors of this book to approach him about it. But that also may have been coordinated through Apple PR. He has a great relationship there as well. So it's possible that could have happened, right? And then look at the timing of these quotes that have come out. It wasn't like Eddie Q tweeted about this 6 months ago that, hey, I just did an interview for this book and I'm really stoked about it because finally somebody's getting it right. You know, and Tim Cook's comment didn't come out 3 months ago, and Johnny Ives didn't come out 2 months ago. They all came in the last couple of weeks. And
Apple doesn't do things by accident.
Luck is not a part of the strategy upon which they've built the company. They've gotten lucky. They've gotten unlucky. But yeah, this was coordinated. And I mean, look at Steve Dowling's statement, right? He goes through a thing and he says, this book, he ends it by saying, the book captures Steve better than anything else we've seen, and we are happy we decided to participate. Not we're happy we were asked to participate. Not we're happy we were able. Not we're happy that we participated. You could even say that. No, we're happy we decided.
That's such a fascinating... Such a fascinating statement. I mean, it's just it's filled with like Freudian revelations.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
I mean, but it's this who's the one in power here? We are. There's no question left at the end of that statement. So it's interesting to me. Again, you know, I go back to my example of the first person shooter. I you know, what developer wouldn't be ecstatic to have three Apple you know, three of the top Apple employees and the head of Apple PR saying great things about how they're the only ones to get it right. Killer.
You can't buy publicity that good.
No. No. I mean, they've all said that to us individually about what we do at Mac Observer, but they've never come out and publicly said it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, it's the whole thing is interesting. It's just
it's a narrative.
Unprecedented nature is interesting, and I wonder how much longer it will last.
Well, that's
out today,
right? How much longer does this last?
Oh, another question.
Go.
Which movie will come out first, Becoming Steve Jobs or Steve Jobs?
Just gonna say, how much will this impact the movie that's being created? Right. I mean, you know, Sorkin is theoretically still busy writing every single line because that's what he'll do, and that's awesome. You know, I'm bummed that the newsroom's gone, but you know, he had to make time for something else. So,
right.
I love his. I think he is the perfect person to write the character of Steve Jobs for the screen. Right. I'm not convinced of the people they've got playing the parts, but I'm certainly convinced of the writer because he writes soliloquies. He writes pompous, egotistical soliloquies better than anyone.
Well, and yeah, but in this case, most of his soliloquies will have already been written.
Yeah, but not really. Yeah, but you know, he's going to take liberty with him, and he should. I want him to. I think it'll be awesome.
Yeah, and Dave, my guess, the reason that you are questioning some of the casting for the movie is because you look at who they cast, and they don't look like the people they're playing.
I think Ashton Kutcher was the best person to ever play Steve Jobs. I don't think that movie was all that fantastic. I mean, it was okay. It was just a series of vignettes. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't cohesive in any sense. It was poorly put together. But in terms of people playing Steve Jobs, both from looks and being able to deliver the part, I can't imagine someone better than Kutcher. Now, you may be able to show me someone that's better than Kutcher, and I'll say, oh, hey, that's better. I couldn't have imagined that, right?
I think Christian Bale would have done a great job.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we'll see. We're going to find out, not about Christian Bale, but we're going to find out if somebody can do it better. We'll see.
Yeah, and I'm okay if they play the character of Steve Jobs really well, even if they don't look like Steve Jobs.
Sure.
Yeah, which... I know for a lot of people, that's a really hard thing to
get. The whole looks. I never understood that.
Well, it's because it's someone that we all know because he was just alive, right? So it's not like we're going back and doing a movie about Einstein where you have this sort of loose vision of what he looked like. Sure, we have pictures of him. I mean, we can get real specific, but we don't have to. Whereas Steve Jobs was on TV, we've seen him on our TVs time and again. And so having that recognition there was really, I think, an important thing. I think it's a shame that Ashton Kutcher was wasted on the wrong Steve Jobs movie.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've never really been impressed by anything he's done before that, to be fair.
Yeah. Well,
or after.
His strongest body of work before that movie was That 70s Show.
I know.
Yeah. And I was really impressed with the way he played Steve Jobs in that movie.
Yeah.
But the movie itself didn't impress me at all.
Was not impressed with Josh Gad's Wozniak. That was just a series of bizarre choices to me.
Yeah, and that was, I think, less about Gad than it was about the purpose that role served. But we're way off topic. Not that that matters.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can say it fits in because we can't wait to see how these. The Steve Jobs movie based on Isaacson's book is going to turn out, and what we're seeing as the inevitable Steve Jobs movie from the new Becoming Steve Jobs book.
Yeah, but does it become one thing? I mean, does the movie studio get wise and say, hey, I want Apple's PR machine behind our movie? I mean, look what they're doing for this book. I want that. Maybe we can horse trade a little bit here.
Well, that would – yeah, but – yeah, one studio will end up making Steve Jobs, and another studio will end up making becoming Steve Jobs. I mean, book Maybe. Rights, you can't merge the two.
Yeah, I think you could merge the two. I mean,
book rights don't work that way.
I know book rights don't work that way, but maybe they go back and, you know, I mean, this whole that movie about the Isaacson book has been on the ropes back and forth many times. It's probably not too difficult to just squash it. And
yeah, I could see it not being made, but I bet that there will be dueling movies now. And
oh yeah,
the Ashton Kutcher film will not be The Dueler.
No,
right? Because that's how we're seeing it,
right?
Back when the Sorkin script first came to light.
Right, that's true. Yeah, we're even talking about that right here. But you're right, going forward, we may be dealing with three movies and the Kutcher one is this sort of afterthought. But I'll still say, isn't it a shame that they wasted that actor on that movie?
Yeah, I agree.
I agree.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time.
Really?
I know. I know. Total shock. So, Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for letting me make a cameo 2 days in a row.
Oh, hey, no problem.
Word up.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well. And this was great. I just knew we had more to talk about this book. So I'm glad that that we did. And thank you. Oh, go ahead, Brian.
I'm just going to say, for the record, I'm wearing candy apple red today.
As one does.
As one does. I was guessing purple, but I can see the candy apple red. Thank you to Pathfinder 7 from Cocotech for being our sponsor this week. Head on over to their website, cocotech.com/Pathfinder. Download a free trial and test it out on your Mac, and I bet you're going to want to pay for it. It's a pretty cool Finder add-on. And thank you to all of our listeners for being here yet again. We will see you again tomorrow.